Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. It's about 7 past the hour. Thanks for tuning in. We apologize for the technical follow-ups the last half hour of the program last night. We do apologize. You will be getting a refund in the mail soon. No, they won't be? Oh, okay. Anyway, welcome to tonight's program. We're going to try to get through all 3 hours this evening without a lightning strike or John McCain taking us off the air or... All right, we're going to try to do it. Two news flashes as we began the program tonight. First, Reverend Ted Haggard is still heterosexual. And the second one, I love this one. Reuters news agency is reporting that the Romanian government has found no proof that the Central Intelligence Agency set up secret detention facilities in Romania or used Romanian airspace to fly terrorism suspects across Europe. Now, that's according to a parliamentary commission investigation put together to take a look at the flights. They announced that. I don't know why we're just getting as a newsflash today, Catherine. This came out yesterday, but here it is. Oh, I see. They made the announcement on Wednesday, and it's only hit the national media today. I got you. Okay. Now, what happened was last week the European Parliament said that European governments and secret services had accepted and concealed secret American flights carrying detainees across the continent, the European continent. Dick Marty, a Swiss senator who conducted an inquiry on the transfer issue on behalf of the Council of Europe, said last year that Romania and Poland had run covert detention facilities for the CIA. But Norica Nicolai, the head of Romania, sent a commission, told reporters that a year-long inquiry had, quote, found no solid arguments to make us believe that the CIA was running illegal transports of prisoners through our country, end quote. Ms. Nicolai said the commission had studied 43 flights suspected of carrying detainees and investigated several Romanian air bases thought to be stopovers or secret rendition centers, and came to the conclusion, no, there's nothing here in our country. No, we have no detention facilities, and we have no flyovers by CIA. No, it did not happen. Why? We know this. We investigate. So there you have it. Romania finds no proof that Romania has secret CIA prisons or secret CIA overflights of people screaming and kicking because they were picked up in Afghanistan for driving a pedicab on the wrong side of the street. That's reassuring to know. Romania has always been a little bit of a suspect country to me. I don't know about you, but, you know, Romania, vampires, Vlad the Impaler. You know. What, that wasn't Romania? Sure it was Romania. The horrible things that occurred there when the Crusaders marched in the, what century was it? What was the really bad one? Was that the 11th century? Vlad the Impaler, who decided to hang just countless tens of thousands of people up on stakes leading on the roads in and out of the local villages including is Bucharest in Romania? Is that the capital? I don't have an atlas in front of me, and I'm starting to get to that point in my life that I forget the capitals of all these foreign nations. Someone said to me the other day, "What's the capital of Canada?" And I was just like, "Ah, I think Bucharest." Yeah, Bucharest. But anyway, Romania has always been kind of a suspect country to me. It's just scary, and that's a bias on my part. It really is. It's just scary. The Carpathian Mountains are there, I believe. For those of you who saw Bram Stoker's Dracula, the really, really, really good Dracula movie, probably the best one ever made, just a few years ago. You remember when they went to Romania, to the castle? I don't know why they all talk like that. I guess they don't all talk like that. That's just how an American tries to mock a Romanian accent. And what, the emails are coming in right now from Romanians? Huh? Really? Oh, okay. Well, I do apologize. Romania, as part of the Soviet bloc, was always a little bit weird to me, too. Wasn't that the one that had Ceausescu? Was that Romania? The dictator that was taken out, and he and his wife, and they were both just bitching and screaming at their soon-to-be executioners right up to the minute they put bullets in their temples.
Wasn't he the gymnast?
No. No, Ceausescu was the dictator. I think. I don't know. If it's not the case, Kathy, I'll have a bunch of emails here in a second giving me the real answers. excuse me. If you saw the editorial, lead editorial in the New York Times today, you probably got the same kind of chill up and down your spine that I did. The title of the lead editorial, American Liberty at the Precipice. And what they're talking about is what we mentioned Tuesday night, that the Federal Appeals Court had ruled that detainees held at the prison camp in Guantanamo, Cuba, do not have the right to be heard in court. I'm still kind of reeling from that. And, I got a couple of emails from people that said, well, you're a little bit melodramatic Tuesday night when you said mark this day because it's the end of America as we know it. And that's not true. It's in Article 1, isn't it, of the Constitution. The right to have the charges against you heard in a court of law, that is so primary in terms of a self-governing society. The right that when the state accuses you of something, you have the right to hear the evidence against you in a court of law before what one assumes and hopes will be an impartial judge, and in some instances an impartial jury. But you can hear what the hell you're being charged with rather than just being handed the verdict. You know, we mentioned Kafka's The Prisoner a few months ago. This is just mind-bending that a U.S. appeals court, by a vote of 2-1, said, no, the right of habeas corpus is not... is not applicable to people who... are being held by Americans outside this country. Well, then what law is? Well, the law that George Bush ran through the Republican Congress, the Military Commission Act last summer. That's what law is applicable. Military Commission Act, not civil law, not civil justice, not 700, 800 years of realizing that only uncivilized or totalitarian states can do what the Bush administration can now do and get away with. But it was a chilling editorial in the New York Times. If you haven't read it because you don't subscribe, go to New York Times Online, excuse me, nytimes.com, and go to the opinion page and read this. It's very quick. It's just horrifying. Horrifying. The Times says that Congress shouldn't wait for the Supreme Court. See, the Supreme Court already said, even this right-wing neo-fascist Supreme Court that we have in place now, said that Bush couldn't do this, that people held in Guantanamo, excuse me, had the right to representation and hear the charges against them. They've already ruled that. So as a result of that, Bush responded by driving through Congress, the Military Commission Act. And that is now the law of the land. So it's up to the Supreme Court to declare it unconstitutional, which surely to God they will, I should hope. But it's up to the Democrats now to do something, to negate the current law by passing one that will show that we're still a democratic republic, don't you think? God, I hate these people.
The Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
Past the hour. All right, let's do something we've never done, and that is take phone calls this early in the program. You want to do that? Let's do that. Let's start with Matt, who is calling in from Madison, Wisconsin. Hey, Matt.
Oh, Mike, I haven't heard you in like forever. In fact, I wasn't even listening to your show. I just earlier today, just on the internet, checked up on when you were on.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's the truth.
Well, when are you going to get us back on a radio station in Madison?
Oh, well, I'll tell you this. I was so infuriated when Air America dropped you that 92.1, when they were almost taken off the air, I didn't even care, man. I was like, oh, man, I like listen. Well, I don't know. To tell you the truth, I don't know.
Well, that's your assignment for the rest of this semester. I want you to lobby that station we were on to pick up the Mike Malloy show.
Oh, yes. Okay? They have right. John Elliott. I mean, I like John Elliott, but I mean, he's good, but, well, you know, I like you better because you just...
Okay, well, get to work, all right?
When I heard you say, I hate these people, I was like, yes, that's the Mike I know and love.
Now, the real reason you called in...
Oh, I am fed up. Oh, I actually, for the first time in my life, when Nightline a couple of weeks ago, it was just last month, when they did this disgusting thing. Well, the idea that our media is liberal, once again, I just saw how absurd that was. On Nightline, they featured this group called the Blasphemy Challenge, you know?
Right.
And then they actually presented the views of these religious crazies as if they were legitimate. These crazies that saying that if you reject the Holy Spirit, you're going to hell. They presented that as if that was a legitimate point of view. And I'm like, but then I remembered, oh, wait a minute. This is the same network we know that ran the path to 9/11, which was nothing, we all know, was nothing but a Republican ad.
Propaganda piece.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, ABC just, they just totally, doesn't ABC have Glenn Beck? I heard on Ring of Fire that they have Glenn Beck in the morning.
I don't know what radio programs he's on. I know he's on CNN, Headline News.
Yeah, what is a Nazi? This guy is an absolute
well,
Nazi.
Well, what's Limbaugh? What's Savage? What's Hannity?
What's Neil Bortz? I mean,
what's Neil Bortz?
Yeah, it's crazy. But, I mean, no, the thing is, Neil Bortz is on the radio. What is Glenn Beck doing on television? It makes no sense to me.
When I
look at Nightline and when I look at how ABC totally panders to the religious right, and I look at that Glenn Beck is actually on CNN. It's just liberal media, my well.
Yes, well, I know.
I can't offend I gotta be nice to the FCC because I might offend some brain dead knuckle dragger who might be listening to. Well, I'm gonna get busy, man. I'm gonna call the local Air America. I'm gonna get busy because I really want you back, Mike.
All right. Really
want you back. Nice hearing you again.
All right,
Mike.
Matt. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate your
Bye-bye.
Call. Thanks a lot. I love that guy. Yeah, you folks in Madison who are listening, call Brian Turney at the mic, 92.1. Just tell Brian, look, enough with the crap. Put Malloy back on. 25 past the hour. I just got this email. I wonder why it took so long. This is from Judy. Mike, you really should research a little bit more before your show. Yes, Bucharest is the capital of Romania. The country has quite a history, including my own family's history, two generations ago and beyond. Transylvania is a real place, as was Vlad the Impaler. Reminds me of W, actually. Anyway, love your rants, love your show. I'll keep listening about, but I'd like you to research just a tiny bit more. Well, I'm not sure what that means, because Romania very seldom comes up, only when one of their government panels investigates and finds out, no, we have not been accepting prisoners. I can't think of anything I said, Judy, that is the result of poor research. I said Bucharest is the capital. I thought it was. When you do this type of work, if you do it with any effectiveness at all, you usually have the capitals of maybe 200 countries stuffed in your head. Vlad the Impaler, Transylvania. Yeah, okay, well. The butchery that went on during the Crusades, yeah.
Seems kind of picky, considering we've got a president in the White House who couldn't name the president of India or the prime minister of any major
whatever.
Nation.
It's okay. But anyway, Judy, thanks for writing. I do as much research as I can, but I have a 3-year-old toddler. Well, almost 3. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
History. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you.
Redefining anger management. It's Mike Malloy, only on Nova M Radio.
Don't know much about geography. Don't know much trigonometry. Don't know much about algebra. Don't know what a slide rule is for.
25 before the hour.
But I do know.
Boy, whoever KPHX puts together those those little bits that won liberals on the couch, that is so funny. That's the first I've heard that. I love that. Right on the money, too. Another email, and then back to your phone calls here. This is from Kathleen. Writes, I really admire you, Mike, but as I'm specializing in gerontology and hope to get a fellowship, I was surprised with your stating, quote, I guess I'm getting to the age where I forget capitals, end quote, what I said a moment ago about Bucharest. Do you think a 20-year-old might know more than you? You're free to express whatever you want, but I'm tired of normal forgetting at a particular age being considered a part of, quote, getting old, end quote. I have a father-in-law who could run circles at 82 around people half his age, and I wish this mythology would stop, that's all. We should enjoy all ages and not pigeonhole people for simple mind snaps because maybe you just didn't know or had other things on your mind. Kathleen, P.S. I was advised by a NERC practitioner, omega-3 helps memory, skin, and hair for your information. Thanks, Kathleen. I love it.
I'm thinking of getting a degree in gerontology.
You are? Oh,
what?
That's right. You're married to me.
Are we near a toilet?
Yeah, really. I'll tell you, my mother, before she died, bless her heart, said to me when she was in her late 80s, Getting old ain't for sissies. Man, you got that right. It was a very, very upsetting article in the New York Times today about the murder trial going on in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Military court is trying several of our soldiers for raping and murdering a 14-year-old Iraqi girl, murdering her family, and then setting everybody on fire. He pled guilty to raping the girl and killing her family in a town south of Baghdad in March 2006, then burning the bodies to cover up the crime. The confession, which he read, described how he and two other soldiers had planned the attack. This is part of what he wrote. Quote, "While we were playing cards, Barker and Green started talking about having sex with an Iraqi female. Barker and Green had already known," at that point he stopped, breaking down, bowed his head, remained silent, sniffing occasionally, crying before continuing. "Barker and Green had already known what house they wanted to go to. They had been there before and knew only one male was in the house and knew it would be an easy target." This 24-year-old sergeant then went on to describe how the men, before heading to the house, changed their clothes so they would not be recognized as American soldiers. Once at the house, Private Green, the suspected ringleader, took the girl's mother, father, and 7-year-old sister into a bedroom. Sergeant Cortez said that occurred while he and Specialist Barker took the teenager to the living room where they took turns raping her. Sergeant Cortez said in his testimony, quote, "she kept squirming and trying to keep her legs closed and saying stuff in Arabic," end quote. He said that during the rape, quote, I hear 5 or 6 gunshots that came from the bedroom. After Barker was done, Green came out of the bedroom and said that he had killed them all, that all of them were dead," end quote. When he began crying again, one of his lawyers asked the court for a recess, which was granted. Sergeant Cortez could face life in prison without possibility of parole for the rape and 4 counts of murder. And all 4 soldiers, as well as the former soldier, Green, were charged in the case. On and on and on and on and on and on. And I read stories like that, and this Sergeant Paul Cortez, this 24-year-old, who broke down today as he described how he repeatedly raped a 14-year-old, would, had it not been for his uniform, be the kind of filth that to me is irredeemable. Now, that's real hard for me to say because I have children. I know that kids can go off in one direction or another. I've watched my kids develop over the years. And I know that there's all sorts of traps and snares alongside the road for young people to fall into. But this is just outrageous. And you have to wonder how people like this get into the military. Now, I understand that it's real contradiction because the military's primary goal, I don't care what they say, the primary goal of any military is to kill people and smash things. That's all. I mean, that's the only reason a military exists, to kill people and smash things. I don't care if it's the most honorable military on the planet or a ragtag bunch of soldiers raging through the jungles of Colombia. It doesn't matter the composition of the army. The primary function is to kill and smash things. And usually in war, it used to be anyway, before the onset of guerrilla warfare tactics and urban warfare, it used to be that the army that managed to kill the most and smash the most things would ultimately be the winner. So the contradiction, and I fully understand the contradiction, to say, well, you know, how does somebody like this get into the military? And my rationalization or justification for saying it, putting it that way, is that there are codes of conduct. Even in killing and smashing, there are codes of conduct. There are parameters within which a soldier is not to stray. Other combatants are, like our soldier or that soldier, fair game. I hate that term, but that's the way it goes. Fair game, fair target, that's the nature of warfare. There is unexpected or so-called collateral damage when families are blown into bloody chunks of human flesh because a bomb goes off at the wrong place. But the deliberate, conscious, premeditated rape of a 14-year-old and the murder of her family has nothing to do with the United States military, has nothing to do with the madness of war, I maintain. Has nothing to do with anything other than degenerate human beings, in this case, our guys, who should, in fact, be locked up for the rest of their natural lives. And I understand, I understand. It's a lot of people who believe in the redemption of human beings might find my statement unacceptable. But I don't care. That kind, these are not 17-year-olds. These are fully formed adults who committed this. And I realize they're in a war zone, and I realize. But this was horrifying. And for this 24-year-old sergeant to weep on the witness stand, to me, is contemptible. Rather than feel pity for him, when I read the article, I wondered how many people in the courtroom wanted to walk up to him and just smack the living hell out of him. Tears. Because he had to admit to what he had done. And this story stands out to me for several reasons, not the least of which is the truth that now the Pentagon is lowering even further its standards for people to go into the military, which is just an outrage. Even though killing other people and smashing things is the primary goal of any military, and even though there are standards of conduct, and there are codes of justice, and on and on and on and on, for the United States military to say we're going to cast that all aside now and take into the military people who are capable of consciously and deliberately and premeditatedly using their position as invaders to commit rape and murder is just beyond belief. And again, I'm not so naive as to believe that this is doesn't happen. All armies do it. That doesn't make it right. And we tried at the end of World War II to hold people accountable. So to these soldiers who are on trial in Fort Campbell, Kentucky, God damn you. God damn you. I hope your asses go to prison for the rest of your lives. You're worthless. Useless. Just useless. Beyond useless. You have corrupted not only the honor that does exist in the United States military, but you've also corrupted this country. So as far as you're crying on the stand, young man, to hell with that. To hell with that. Nobody's impressed. Just enrages me. Well, we got a break. Okay, when we come back, your phone calls. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Boom, boom, bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk, and I love the way you talk.
Ready for Radical Talk Radio? Make mine Mike Malloy on Nova M.
You knocks me out off of my feet. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang.
10 before the hour.
Boom, boom, boom. Bang, 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 bang.
Back to your phone calls. Let me see. Joe is calling from Miami. Hey, Joe, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
Listen, man, it's time for people to admit that the state of Iraq no longer exists. We destroyed the place. It's a state of chaos. There is no government there. There's a group of people hiding in the green zone, protection of the U.S. military. And the funny thing is, they're Iranian surrogates. The Kurds don't want any part of it. They're trying to build their own country, which is going to be attacked by the Turks once they do that.
Right.
And then you got southern Iraq. There's nothing but a province of Iran right now. They're running the show. And there's 21 militias in there, but there's actually three more. We're not counting the Iraqi police, the Iraqi military, and the U.S. Army. And the problem we got is the U.S. Army is the only non-Muslim one there, and they're in big trouble. The Tet Offensive is coming, buddy. There's going to be a lot of dead Americans. And this son of a bitch in the White House is doing nothing about it.
Well, I certainly hear you.
It's frustrating, Mike. I mean, it's so obvious. You see, it's sitting right there in front of you. Yeah. We're surrounded. These 150,000 troops are dead meat in there.
That's true.
Do you remember that call you got about 8 months ago from the guy talking about the supply lines?
Yeah, I do.
That guy, what he's saying is coming true. When the British leave, buddy, supply lines are dead.
Well, this is, you know, what...
And how can 20% of the American people still support this clown in the White House? You got to be a moron. You got to be an idiot to even think about this guy for anything but dog catcher.
Well, that's it. So many people in this country are exactly of that mindset. They're just dumber than dirt.
Oh, God, Mike. I mean, how much does it take? You know, how many dead American soldiers do you have to have before you realize this was nothing but a big show, a big joke, a ripoff?
Yeah.
Like I said, steal the military budget and steal the oil money. That's all these guys are doing.
That's it.
Take care, my man.
All right. Appreciate it, Joe. Yeah. Paul is calling from Washington, D.C. Hey, Paul, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Doing all right. How about you?
I'm doing all right. People forget to people don't remember that everything the founders of our nation did was in reaction to either their own or their immediate ancestors' experience with tyranny in Europe, mostly from Europe.
Right.
You know, the Declaration of Independence, which is the parent document to the Constitution, says all men are created equal. It doesn't say that all men who are born in the United States who are in the continental United States are created equal. It says all men.
That's true.
The founders were the idea of the United States was not a geographical concept. It was a global concept. It was a concept of the mind. Liberty wasn't meant to be exclusive to the territory of the United States. Mm-hmm. They were hoping to create sort of a paradise which could branch out, the ideas could branch out across the world. So when the Court of Appeals essentially says, well, it was only meant to apply to people who might be on this country, they forget what the founders were trying to create, which was the notion of liberty was meant to be global, not exclusive to a geographical location.
Well, right, and it seems that ruling also seems to contradict this moron in the White House when he says, and I realize he doesn't mean it, he doesn't even know what the hell he's saying, but when he says he feels that he has a mission to bring freedom and justice and democracy to people all over the planet, or that is the natural state of people all over the planet, and then he rams through the Congress a bill that has just been interpreted by this Court of Appeals that denies people, as you're pointing out, a basic human right when they're hauled before or charged with a crime. So you're right. Excuse me. On the other hand, being right in this case means you're being sane in a situation where the prevailing thought is insane. So it's just, I don't know, man.
Right. And, you know, I'm hoping that when it goes to the Supreme Court, that they will be sane and reverse this ruling.
I do, too.
And the simplicity of the concept of habeas corpus, I mean, most governments, and again, the founders experienced this themselves or their ancestors did, the power of the government to grab an individual person mm-hmm. and to throw them into dungeon, the mechanism of forcing this powerful entity to put forth evidence or to be required to release an individual, no matter how poor or how rich they are. The simplicity and the brilliance of that concept is mind-boggling.
Oh, it is. It really is. And in one motion, George W. Bush and the Republicans have destroyed it, have
right.
just utterly destroyed it.
Right. Well, hopefully, maybe the Democrats will reverse it.
Well, let's, yeah, we can hope. Thanks, Paul.
All right.
All right, I appreciate you checking in. James is calling from Oklahoma. Hey, James.
Hi, Mark.
How you doing?
Oh, the Supreme Court's a joke. They've got them stacked against us.
Well, I know that.
Well, I had a joke for you, but everything's been getting serious tonight.
Uh-oh, well, maybe we need a joke then.
Well, Reverend Ted.
Yeah.
A stud muffin come walking by and dropped a crack, and he had to scratch his chin and said, which crack do I want? Do I want the crack or do I want the crack? Takes a while to figure that out.
Yeah, yeah. In the meantime, I'll probably lose my broadcast license.
Well, I just said crack.
I know.
I didn't cuss this time.
Yeah, no, you didn't. That's true.
Where's the Reverend Sky Blue?
I haven't heard from him. I guess he ran out of cell phone minutes.
Man, that guy was something else. I think I saw a Moody Blues concert
with him at
Oral Roberts Theater in Tulsa.
Yeah?
It was a hell of a deal.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It definitely sounds. I don't know where Reverend Sky or where Sky Blue is. I hope he checks in because we miss
him.
I do
too.
All right, James, thank you. I appreciate your call. You take care. We got a boogie, pal. Got to go. I appreciate it. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. I don't know if you listen to Air America News that is carried by some of our affiliates during the top of the hour and bottom of the hour breaks, but I was listening to the newscast here just a moment ago, and the story about this POW MIA motorcycle group called Rolling Thunder, who say they're banding together to protect sacred ground for Vietnam War veterans when Iraq war protesters converge on Washington next month. This is so bogus. This is so absolutely contemptibly disgusting. I have a feeling, and you probably do too. Here's the story. The rally is for March 17th against the war. And is set to get underway in a grassy park near the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, known as the Wall. I've been in that park. That was where, Kathy, that's where you and I went to the big pre-war demonstration way back in the fall of 03. I believe it was the fall. No, when was it? I don't even remember. Spring? I don't know. Anyway, two veterans groups said Wednesday they fear protesters may deface the memorial. That is so filthy, bogus. You lying sons of bitches. Nobody would even consider doing that. At the demonstration we were at, as a matter of fact, the wall was shown great respect because that's what we were trying to stop, is a further wall, another wall. Artie Mueller, founder and executive director of Rolling Thunder, said, quote, "We're going to be there to protect our memorial and show support for our troops," end quote. Who is this rat bastard? What do you mean your memorial, punk? That memorial belongs to the people of the United States, and it's based on lies and deceptions that took us into a war where we murdered 2.5 million civilians in Indochina and lost 58,000 of our own people. You know, the nerve of these rat bastards to make statements like, it's not your memorial, and it's not your troops, punk. Oh, my God. A spokesman for the upcoming rally, Richard Bucker, said the organizations involved have no intention of desecrating the memorial. Bucker said, quote, "I think it's the spreading of myths, and that's a polite way of putting it," end quote. I'm sure this probably got started on the pig Rush Limbaugh's program or the piglet Sean Hannity's program or one of these freaks. My God. Some of the protesters will be Iraq War veterans and their families. I mean, this is disgusting. Now, I realize that the Rolling Thunder thugs have gotten a little bit of my respect when they would show up for funerals to keep the anti-gay protesters, that crazy bunch of morons from, where are they from, Kathy, Kansas? I believe it's Kansas. You know, the ones that show up with the signs that says, "God hates fags, that's the reason your son is dead." Just, you know, Rolling Thunder started showing up for that and placing themselves between the people attending the funeral and these miscreants who would hold up these signs. And I thought, okay, that's, you know, that's a good thing to do. You know, forgetting for just a moment that Rolling Thunder is, for the most part, a bunch of unemployed, crack-dealing freaks who decide they're going to go bust up on some hippies. You know, this just reminds me so much of the late 60s. It really does. When the hard hats that were stimulated by Dick Nixon to go beat up protesters. I tell you, it's really starting to get to me. It's really starting to get to me. One of the, it says here, Larry Bailey, a retired Navy captain, said he and the other Vietnam veterans aim to guard entrance points to the wall to keep protesters away. Now, what are these rat bastards going to do? They're going to stop people from walking past a monument where somebody might want to go pray for the people whose names are on this monument and then go on to an anti-war demonstration to stop more names. And this punk ass is going to stand there and say, "Hey, stand for things that are total anathema to those of us who are the next generation after the great generation." What the hell does that mean? What a bogus story. Oh, man. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Hopefully the Rolling Thunder people will just, you know, just stay back, smoke their meth, and leave the war anti-war protesters alone. You know, how do you demonstrate in favor of death and destruction and rape and murder and killing and fire from hell and lies and deceit? How do you demonstrate in favor of that? Well, you can't, so you come up with a bogus issue. Well, they're going to be demonstrating over there, so we're going to stand here so they don't come over and desecrate our memorial. The gall of these people. Oh, and look for the right-wingers to just absolutely just drool all over themselves when news of this story gets out, huh? Yeah. I'm sure a lot of Dominionist Christians will show up, too. Well, you know, they set the stage for absolute the possibility of real violence, and all they have to do is join the people who are lobbying against more names on a wall in the future. But no, these Rolling Thunder punks. Oh man, hey, listen, we're going to get out there and protect our memorial. Okay, against what? How about joining the anti-war demonstrators and protect your memorial against the addition of thousands of more names, you dumbasses? What is wrong with these people? the things they stand for, them war protesters, is anathema to us. What the hell do you mean? Those war protesters stand for justice and peace and truth and honor and dignity. What the hell do you stand for, motorcycle punk? Here, smoke some of this crack and we'll go beat up some hippies. Yeah! Jesus God. When I think about the damage that Nixon and Bush have done to the fabric of this country, and Reagan, I just want to, I don't know, well, I want to leave is what I want to do. Slimy, disgusting, half-human thugs who set American against American, come up with all these bogus issues, take us into wars that are, and yeah, Lyndon Johnson, that are filthy and based on lies and murder and mayhem. Damn all of you. Damn you. A couple of quick emails, send back to your phone calls. I just promised myself I wasn't going to get crazy tonight until I hear that story from Air America News. This is from James. Mike, I disagree that the nature of war and the military has nothing to do with rape and murder of the 14-year-old Iraqi girl and her family. In order to become a member of a military and a professional killer, one must learn to dehumanize one's enemy in order to break down the natural resistance to killing. In the case of an occupation, the entire population of the occupied country becomes identified with the enemy, as clear civilian combatant distinctions are difficult to make. And hence, the dehumanization extends to everyone in that country. Words like Haji and Raghead have replaced Gook and Slope as the epithets du jour. But they all have the same purpose, to make the occupied people something less than human. In this context, it's easier to understand how a group of soldiers could cold-heartedly plan and perpetrate this horrible act. The young girl was something less to them than a human being. James.
And your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Past the hour. Don in Texas writes in, Mike, the Rolling Thunder people are 45-year-old meth heads with Da Nang and such things on their jackets. They were 12 years old when the Vietnam draft ended. Yeah, I'm sure that's got a lot of truth to it. And the last one here, this is from Donald in Augusta, Georgia, who writes, Mike, I'm at this very moment watching the HBO documentary Ghosts of Abu Ghraib, as if I weren't mad enough. To see how they treated the Iraqi citizens is deplorable. It's enough to make you actually contemplate feelings of hate toward your own government. I try not to let my anger reach that level no matter what, but my anger at this government and at the moronic, soulless Americans who supported and still support this administration and its damnable war is causing me to lose a little bit of my sanity and humanity daily. I just want to strike out at the morons that support this criminal enterprise. I mean, how evil and inhumane must you be to think what is going on in this nation with this war and the war crimes committed in our name is moral, not to say illegal? If the God that these people worship and they claim put this moron in the White House is indeed the God in the Holy Bible, then no wonder atheism is on the rise in America. Donald and Augusta. Yeah, I know. I had somebody send me an email today, and they wanted to know if I still use profanity on the air, and I said, yeah, I do. I wrote back and said, yes, I do. And I said, this is a program for adults. It's on late in the evening in most markets, and it's a focal point for the rage that people feel. It is one thing to feel angry about something. It's something else, again, to channel that anger into a letter to your senator or a phone call to the gas company or a visit with your kid's high school principal. You know, little actions like that that used to mean something got done. And it doesn't work anymore. When's the last time you went to a Walgreens drugstore and drove to the drive-in window to try to pick up a prescription that your physician allegedly phoned in 6 hours ago, huh? These, you know, it never, ever, ever stops. No matter where you turn, the frustration. When you add to that a government that constantly tells the American public to go screw itself, over and over again, that the Constitution means nothing, the laws mean nothing, the two co-equal branches of government mean nothing. When you have an executive branch that does that for 6 years, and you have the just normal intelligence, and your brain hasn't been squeezed dry by some piece of human waste like Rush Limbaugh and his clones, then of course you're going to be angry. You're going to be raged, enraged. And when you are enraged, you don't say, oh, darn these people. Oh, I just get so angry. No, that's not what you say. If you say anything anymore. So I wrote back to the person sent me the email and said, yeah, you know, my program is still pretty much what it's been. Because that's the nature of what this program's about. You want solutions or other people to listen to. You want more rational, calm conversation, there are other people to listen to. If you want lies and deceit and garbage heaped into your ear, there are places you can get that too. If you want to come to a program and share the rage, then this is where you go. I've said it a million times, I'll say it a million and one. I don't have any solutions. I don't have the first solution. The situation we're faced with in this country is just enormous. Where do you begin? And overarching everything else is this reality of global warming that the pig man Limbaugh still mocks for his brain sucked dry listeners. Over everything else, the planet is in jeopardy. And here we are, scruffling around down here like so many hungry amoeba attacking each other over the most asinine, nonsensical issues. I have thought at several times in my life, I don't think it anymore, but I used to think, you know, after all the millions of years of development, evolution, that the human species has gone through, wouldn't we by this point have gotten to the level where just some essential truths could be recognized and applied? Doesn't that seem like just common sense? But it hasn't happened. So we have what we have. All right, your phone calls when we come back. I promise, stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
I wear it for the sick and lonely old, for the reckless ones whose bad trip left them cold. I wear the blackened mourning for the lives that could have been. Each week we lose 100 fine young men. But till we start to make a move to make a few things right, you'll never see me wear a suit of white. Oh, I'd love to wear a rainbow every day and tell the world that everything's okay. But I'll try to carry off a little darkness on my back.
Says aussi bon de partir n'importe où, bras dessus, bras dessous, en chantant des chansons. C'est si bon de se dire.
Get your rage on. It's Mike Malloy.
De petits rien dis-tu, mais qui ont 10 ans long.
How do you get your rage on? Is that
en
music?
En voyant notre mine
ravieux. That calms the rage down. Freedom Fries. Remember that? 25 before the hour. All right, major, major, major screw-up on the Malloy program here in the last 20 minutes. And I've gotten a correction from two people, one here in the States and one in the UK. Rolling Thunder. This is from Will. Mike, Rolling Thunder has nothing to do with the organization that rides to military funerals in response to the anti-gay protesters. The group that rides to the funerals, excuse me, is known as Patriot Guard Riders. I ride with them whenever they are invited to attend a military funeral in Michigan. Oh, this is Will in Michigan. As an apolitical group, Patriot Guard Riders has nothing to do with protesting for or against anything. Thanks, Will. Like I said, big screw-up on my part. I apologize to anybody who rides with Patriot Guard Riders, truly. And Simon in the UK writes, the Patriot Guard Riders, not Rolling Thunder, are the ones who stopped Phelps, the Reverend Phelps. They are more of a loose coalition of bikers, veterans, and others who attend at the request of the deceased family. As far as I can tell, they have nothing to do with Rolling Thunder. Speaking of which, Rolling Thunder, there's something a tad sick about naming your organization after a 3-year bombing campaign that killed over 70,000 civilians. Yeah, that's what the Rolling Thunder event was in Vietnam, right? All right, thanks to Simon in the UK and Will in Michigan, and I just want to go home now. I feel so damned embarrassed for assuming that Rolling Thunder was the group that went to those funerals. I don't know what to say when I make a screw up like that. All right, let's do a phone call so I can recover here. Fran is calling from Spokane, Washington. Hey, Fran.
Hey. I don't want you to be angry anymore. I did for a while.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I don't want you back angry. Get off the ladder.
Oh, yeah? What should I do?
Okay, I want you to get us back on Spokane on the radio so I can listen to you when I go to sleep at night.
Well, I you know, if it were up to me, we'd be on every radio station.
I don't know how to do that.
Well, I don't either.
Okay, well, Kathy does. I email her, and I want to be on KTPG in Spokane.
Yeah.
And it's a clear channel.
Yeah.
But you know what it's like getting on.
Well, again, if I had my way, we would be on every station in the country, Fran. But the type program I do is not the type of program that
I want it at night.
That people who control media in this country want the American people to hear. Not because I say caca little words occasionally, but because of my point of view.
Oh, come on. I listened to Peter, whatever his name is, Peter B. Collins tonight.
Yeah.
He is no Mike Malloy. I understand. It's a different thing.
Yeah,
I listened to him. I almost got sick.
Well, no, come on. That's a little harsh.
It was harsh. I like Mike Malloy, and I don't see any reason why Mike Malloy isn't on. Now, I'm passing all those things. I'm going to try and get you on Clear Channel.
Okay.
And I've tried. I've called and called, and they're only on in the morning, and they're only doing this.
You need to pick it.
What?
Pick at the station. Get 100 of your closest friends and start picketing the station.
I don't have 100 friends.
Oh, all right.
You know, I'm a Democrat here in Spokane. I just want to tell you, though, that I am a permanent resident.
Yeah?
The card,
yeah.
You know, green card.
You are?
Nat habeas corpus. And martial law really is coming through on Randy Rhodes. Are we supposed to be scared of that? I've been here 40 years.
Well, what country is your home country?
Canada.
Canada?
Canada. Carry a green card, but we can't go across the borders anymore. I mean, I can carry my green card and go across the borders, but my kids can't.
Oh, my God. Well, why?
They have to get license and their birth certificate and all the, and picture ID, but then it's going to a passport.
Because they're Americans.
They're American.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm Canadian, so I can still cross for a while, but I can't go on a plane across the border without getting a passport.
A passport now, yeah.
I've already paid $260 for my card, but that isn't the point either. The point is that if I go on your show and I go on email and I talk to Kathy and I talk to her about all these things about American politics, you know, it is very, very scary.
Because your email is read and they know who you are and they know you are not a citizen. And
and they have martial law and they can come to my door any day they want. Honest to God, that is the fact.
Yeah.
Is it a fact?
What you're saying is factually correct, but so far, if you are Canadian and white, are you white? Are you Caucasian?
I'm white.
Okay. If you're Canadian and Caucasian, you have a better chance than if you're, say, oh, I don't know, Indonesian, and your skin is not exactly Caucasian. You know, if you're some other race, then you have more of a chance that you're going to be accused of trying to bomb Chicago. As long as you're a Caucasian and your home country is Canada, you're probably fairly safe, Fran.
You've got to be kidding, because I have a lot of Armenian friends, Ishmael friends. I've got an Iranian friend who was my my guy that put me under in my surgery. You know, this country is full of them, and they're wonderful people. The Iranians.
Right. Well, yes, certainly, of course. But, you know, the Iranians who are not in this country persist in having a country that has oil in the ground, and they want to build nuclear reactors to either generate energy or to provide themselves with the weapons of defense, and that's not acceptable. So, you know, there are good Iranians and bad Iranians. The good Iranians are the ones that live here and are nice and quiet and vote and, you know, whatever.
And their mothers sent them over here to get education
right.
and all that stuff.
Right.
I know that.
Right.
You know what else?
Yeah.
The Canadians supply 25% of the oil.
Right.
And they don't even acknowledge that.
I know. Isn't Canada, between Canada and Mexico, don't they provide us with about 45% of our...
Absolutely. Why don't they talk about this? Why doesn't Air America talk about this? Why doesn't Ed Schultz talk about this?
Well,
instead of saying the 2% at the bottom that Iraq supplies and Kuwait and Arabia.
Yeah. Well,
I don't understand.
I don't either. But there's a lot of things I don't understand, Fran.
Well, and you give me sight. I have listened to you for 2 years, and when you went away, I almost died.
Well, me too. It's always better.
I love Kathy, and I love your baby. And my baby is 22, and he is suffering like crazy. He doesn't have a job.
Oh.
You know, Bush says, okay.
Well, don't let him join the military, all right, Fran?
No, I won't.
No, okay.
Yeah.
Unless it's the Canadian military.
Hey, I love you guys to death.
Thank you, Fran. You take care.
Every night at 6 o'clock, I sit down here and do this.
Bless your heart. Thanks for checking in. Take care. You got to love her. Amy writes in, hey, Mike, Fran wants you on when she goes to sleep? Much as I enjoy your show as a lullaby? Well, yeah. Well, some people can go to sleep, Amy, to, you know, raucous screaming. Yes.
Yep. None of these people ever stayed in a dorm in college?
I know. All right, there's just a couple more things here. Two more things. George Bush's murderous Pentagon is planning to send more than four. Did you see this in the Times today? 14,000 National Guard troops back to Iraq next year, which shortens their time between deployments, in order to meet the demands of the psychopath's buildup of his surge. National Guard officials, it says here, told state commanders in Arkansas, Indiana, Oklahoma, and Ohio that while a final decision had not been made, units from their states that had done previous tours in Iraq and Afghanistan could be designated to return to Iraq next year between January and June. A unit from Oklahoma, a combat brigade with one battalion currently in Afghanistan, had not been scheduled to go back to Iraq until 2010. Think about that for a second. And brigades from the other three states not until 2009. And then it says the accelerated timetable illustrates the cascading effect that the White House plan to increase the number of troops in Iraq is putting on the entire army, and in particular on reserve forces, which officers predict will face severe challenges in recruiting, training, and equipping. I'm telling you, this son of a bitch is destroying the country and every institution in it. How much longer before he's removed from office? How much longer?
They're not even a real country anyway.
My son could have been a doctor or a lawyer, rich and true. Instead, he burned up like a piggy on a barbecue.
Should we blame the matches? Should we bring the fire? Or the doctors who allowed it to expire?
Heck no!
Blame Canada!
Turn on your nights when you turn off your lights. Go to bed with Mike Malloy every night on Nova M Radio.
One more thing here. I just got this. This is from The Guardian of the UK. Much of the intelligence on Iran's nuclear facilities provided to UN inspectors by U.S. spy agencies has turned out to be unfounded. That's according to diplomatic sources in Vienna. The claims, it says in The Guardian, reminiscent of the intelligence fiasco surrounding the Iraq War, coincided with the sharp increase in international tension as the IAEA reported that Iran was defying a UN Security Council ultimatum to freeze its nuclear program. The report delivered to the Security Council by the IAEA General Director General Mohammed Al-Baradei sets the stage for a fierce international debate on the imposition of stricter sanctions on Iran and raises the possibility that the U.S. could resort to military action against Iranian nuclear sites. At the heart of the debate, it says here, accusations, most made by the United States, that Iran is secretly trying to develop nuclear weapons. You know, they do have a nuclear program, but so what? And as far as the nuclear weapons are concerned, so what? We live in a demon-infested world, and the demons are nuclear weapons. What, we're going to give up ours? Russia's going to give up theirs? The UK and France and China are going to give up theirs. Israel's going to give up theirs. No. Pakistan, India, you think? Huh? No, I don't think so either. And it's amazing to me that these right-wing pissants around the country keep bringing this up. Aren't you the ones who keep saying if everybody were armed walking the streets of America, crime would disappear because everyone would be afraid of being shot? Okay, just increase it by several magnitudes and you've got everybody on Earth have nuclear weapons. Then everybody will behave. Huh? Flaw in your logic, you right-wing punks. Most of the tip-offs, according to The Guardian, about supposed secret weapons sites provided by the CIA and other U.S. intelligence agencies have led to dead ends when investigated by International Atomic Energy Agency inspectors. A diplomat at the IAEA with detailed knowledge of the agency's investigation said, quote, most of it has turned out to be incorrect. Why, of course. This is the Bush crime family. Of course it's incorrect. Of course it doesn't exist. And if it does exist, well, what did I hear the other day? That Russia, the country that has been financing the building of these nuclear facilities, has ordered the construction stopped until the Iranians pay what they already owe. And even if everything goes according to plan, they're 2, 3, 4 years away from having the processes in place to use enriched uranium to begin the process of building nuclear weapons. You know, you don't just sit down and say, oh, I think I'll build a nuclear weapon today. Although in Bush's brain, that's exactly how it works. So once again, this country and the Middle East and the entire world is being lied to by these warmongering bastards in the White House and the Bush administration and the Republican Party. What is it with you Republicans? How much death is enough death for you? How much do you need? Huh? How much death do you Republicans need? God. And Fran wants to go to sleep with this? Your phone calls. Gary is calling from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hey, Gary.
You know, I was going to take and use my age as an excuse for not having all my facts right, but since you got a good listener that just recognized that isn't quite accurate,
right?
I just have to say that it was because maybe I wasn't listening as carefully as I should.
Okay.
But two things. One, regarding the protest in Washington on the 27th of January, I took about 4 days off and went back there.
Uh-huh.
And during the news that you talked about there at the beginning of the hour, they talked about how some had defaced the steps of the Capitol.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you what, if that happened, and I'll have to, you know, say that it may have, it probably did or whatever, I would say from my vantage point being there, it was probably somebody trying to stir up trouble or to make it look like there was trouble.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Because
absolutely. Pro-peace or anti-war people are not going to walk around with a can of spray paint. You know, I hate it when these kinds of stories start to develop.
Yeah, it's just the mood of the people there was absolute, almost reverent. You know, not reverent from the point of church reverent, but respectful of everybody. I mean, I have never felt safer in my life with 200,000 people elbow to elbow as I felt there that day.
Yeah.
You know, that isn't why I called. I called regarding the Haditha murder, rape, whatever you want to,
you know. The trial that's going on in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Yeah.
You know, there is no way that I can explain that or understand that. It's just unfathomable to me how somebody could abuse or misuse people like that. But that type of thing exists in this world.
Sure.
But I listened to a program a week or so ago, Mike Fader on Saturday afternoon, who interviewed somebody that talked about some of the lowering of the standards of people going into the military and some of the background behind this. And there's more to that story. I wish you could get a hold. I'll see if I can find out more.
Okay.
And, but I have to say I didn't listen as carefully as I should have. But these people, some of the people or the main person that originally instigated this or whatever, this group had been ambushed or whatever and lost.
Hey, Gary, let me get you hold on because I know you got a little more to say and I got to take a break here. I'll pick you up on the other side of the break. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're talking right before the break with Gary, who is called in from Cheyenne. Let's go back to Gary. Where were we, Gary?
Well, you know, I wish I had the details, but I don't. Except to say that one or some of the people in that situation, if I remember right, had been involved where somebody in their unit was ambushed and killed a day or two before and had actually gone in for medical attention because they were concerned that they were going to be doing something to somebody else. They thought that, you know, it doesn't justify the story, but they were given, you know, a pill and sent back out to duty rather than being treated and dealt with appropriately.
Well, I think it's this, I think what you're saying is, the two stories are, or the story you're referring to may be a different incident where Americans were attacked or a roadside explosive device went off, and in order to seek revenge, they and I think this is the story you're referring to. They went around, they found a family of Iraqis. And started shooting them, or they went to several houses and started shooting. The case we're talking about, Fort Campbell, no, this was
the one here had to do specifically with that story with Haditha, and the indication from the person that Mike was interviewing, the other Mike Fader was interviewing, indicated that this went all the way up as far as cover up, all the way up. It doesn't justify what happened. There's no excuse for that as far as I'm concerned. But it's just like Abu Ghraib. I mean, what we don't know is just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, that's true. That's
The complicity all the way up, you know, it's a shame that we have to lower our standard to do this type of thing. I mean, if we can't be honest and above board, then we shouldn't be there. That's all there is to it. Well, I don't think we should be there anyway, obviously, because you just can't, you know, I guess I can't say it maybe on the air, but one of the banners at the rally said bombing for peace is like, we live in a world where nothing makes sense. And, you know, you go ahead and continue to rage. I don't know how to do that because I can't do that. But I appreciate hearing somebody once in a while speaking up for the truth. You help me realize that I'm not insane.
Well, that's,
you know, don't blow a fuse because I want you to be able to listen to you for a few more nights. But
All right. Well, well, thanks a lot, Gary. I appreciate the things you had to say. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. Take care. I hope to hear from you again. There have been so many of those incidences in Iraq of American men out of control. I just can't say American soldiers. It's just hard for me to say that. These are American men who happen to be, at the time of their criminal acts, happen to be wearing a uniform of the U.S. military. But I maintain that they would have done this given the opportunity back here as a civilian. I understand to the extent that I can, since I've never been in a combat zone, but I understand the breakdown between rational thought and irrational thought that occurs in a combat zone. I think I understand it to the extent that I can, never having been in that situation. We have listeners of this program and emailers who stay in touch with us who have been in combat, and, you know, like they point out, unless you've been there, you can only get your mind around maybe 2 or 3% of what really happens. And I accept that, respect that. From a distant, rational point of view, it just seems to me that people who will commit acts like this, calculatedly, coldly, not having to do with the heat of immediate battle, but who will decide, back in their barracks or wherever, you know, let's go rape somebody today. There's this woman, this kid down the street I've been eyeballing. Let's go get her. And let's kill the witnesses. Who's going to know? Jesus, God. You know, and as horrifying as it is, you stop and think that one of the witnesses they killed was this 14-year-old girl's little 7-year-old sister. You evil bastards. That's evil. That's Nazism. That's death campism. That's, it is. It just is. That's outside being human, being the definition of being human. It's just unbelievable. Man. Get a grip. Todd is calling from Coconut Grove, Florida. Hey, Todd.
Yes, Mike. I've been listening to you and your ilk since Wilma, about a year and a half, I guess.
Wilma?
I got lucky. The hurricane. We didn't have any electricity, and I had always listened to music, and I got so frustrated I wanted something else, and I found you all, so I was very lucky to have that happen.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. I
haven't stopped listening since.
Yeah?
I'm one of those that called New York multiple times trying to talk some sense into them.
Yeah.
But I called, and I won't be a pest or make a practice of calling you, but there was a couple of things I wanted to say. And one of them is that I find tonight's program very refreshing. It's so more inclusive, if you know what I mean. It's you're including more people. It's enjoyable sitting here listening to it all.
Oh, taking more phone calls.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. And more people, more and different people,
right.
not repeat people. I mean, I'm not telling you who to talk to, but it's nice to hear fresh voices as well.
Sure. Absolutely.
Now, I was out last night with a neighbor. We went to Senator Brooks' lecture and book signing in Coral Gables. You've probably heard of his book. You know, the first African American senator. Bridging the Divide, Senator Edward W. Brooke.
Okay.
He was a very nice fellow, 88 years old, very enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Having been from Boston, and having listened to his speech in a parking lot near Fenway Park in 1966, I felt compelled to go over there and get a signed copy of his book.
I would have loved to have been there. I have to admit, I didn't know that Senator Brooke was still alive.
Yeah, he is, and he just came out with a book.
I'll be damned.
Yeah, divide. Let's see. I got it right here. It's Bridging the Divide, and I suspect it's going to be a good read.
Edward Brooke, right?
Edward W.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, the last thing I have nice neighbors, but I'm a senior citizen, and I'm into jazz and butterflies and books and. Dogs and cats, even kittens, but strays, all strays. You mentioned, you in passing, I know you didn't quite mean it, but you said you were thinking of leaving. Well, I feel terrible giving you this report, but I was with a fellow from the islands who was a neighbor of mine, a very successful fellow. Last night, and I suggested he go with me, and he did. And then we went out for a pizza and a bottle of wine. And he had been in Argentina with his wife on holiday within the last month. And he was telling me that he could very easily move there to, what is it, Buenos Aires?
Or, mm-hmm.
And I said, well, what is the feeling, me being an Anglo from north of Boston,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, not worldly traveled, other than books and TV and what have you. But he said, well, he says, I could very easily move there. And parenthetically, the owner of the restaurant was Argentinian, and he was telling us at the same time that people are flocking there because of the cost of living and because of this group running this country.
Yeah. Well,
so rather disappointing
to
hear.
It's funny, Todd. I have friends here in Atlanta who have basically said the same thing. Todd, we have a break here.
All right. I've said my piece. I wish you well.
Well, thank you, sir, and I hope to hear from you again. It's nice to have a phone call once in a while that doesn't sound like me. Stay with us. I'm Mike Mullen.
Imagine all the people living side by side. Peace, 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 peace. You can say...
He's the primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
Ooh, that just sounds almost too butch to put on the air. Your inner liberal warrior. Embrace it. Little music for Todd. It's about 22 past the hour. From Jan in New York City, she writes, Mike, we started building nuclear reactors while we had the Shah in power in Iran. Valerie Plame and Brewster Jennings, her cover company, were investigating nuclear locations in Iran. Outing them ended our ability to know what is happening in that country, not to mention God knows how many people were killed. Inflation is raging in Iran. Prices have doubled and tripled under the current president, and the people blame him. What a mess, Jan in New York City. Yeah, it's this murder, this lust toward murder and destruction that is the core of Dick Cheney and George Bush and these neocon thugs is I've never seen anything like this. And if you're over the age of, I don't know what, pick a number. If you're over the age of 25, 30, 35, you've never seen anything like this either. I'm talking about in this country. Of course we've seen it in tyrants around the world. But this is these people are unique to American political history, as far as I'm concerned. This entire Bush crime family, I cannot find a parallel. No one, none of them, has been this murderous, this hell bent on destroying what we have spent 70 years trying to build in this country, a cohesive social safety net, a cohesive society. We have tried, we have struggled, we have gone through civil rights, we have so many of us have tried. I'm not referring to myself when I use us. I'm just saying so many people in this country have tried to repair the damage of 350 years of slavery, to repair the damage of denying women equal place in this, just on and on. So many people work towards social justice, legal justice. There has been so much blood, sweat, and tears put into trying to form a society that cares about the members of that society, whether they're native-born or not, a society that says, look, you know, we don't have to wallow around in the blood and the crap and the spit and the slime. You know, we can, and then this Bush crime family and the Reagan crime family and the Nixon crime family come along, and in 30 short years, they just absolutely trash it. And to the extent, I won't call Clinton's administration a crime family because I don't think they were. I just think that he is way overrated. But he added to it, too. The destruction of everything that so many good people in this country have just busted their asses to try to put together. How many people died or were grievously wounded trying to organize workers so that a middle class could develop in this country? How many people have tried to make education accessible to folks that don't have families with $300,000 a year incomes? How many people have struggled to make public health an honorable profession and medical care available to everyone in this country? How, you know, it just goes on and on. And then these rat bastards come along, especially this Bush administration, this one. And in 6 years, they just take us into, I don't know where in the hell they're taking us, into chaos and murder and death and destruction, some sort of a modern era, dark ages. They want to destroy education. They want to destroy science. They want us all to go around raising our hands to the sky to spooks and haints and magic spirits while they bomb and kill and strafe and strike and devour as much as they can. It's just almost sometimes too much, isn't it? All right, break and then back to your phone calls. All right, stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Now, right about this point last night is where we lost everything. So we're not going to lose everything tonight. But if we do, it's not because John McCain is trying to get us off the air, okay? We'll be right back.
Welcome to the new American sanctuary. Yeah, welcome to the new American sanctuary. I want a big, big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across your skies. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new.
Nighty night, truth seekers. Time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer, more Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. Back to your calls. Gary is calling from Corydon, Indiana. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Corydon.
No, Corydon.
Corydon.
Yeah.
Welcome to the program.
Hey. I've been wondering here because I have heard two different things in passing on different shows. There's something about the Jefferson that allows states to file articles of impeachment with the Congress?
So I've heard. That's a part of impeachment proceedings that I just am totally, of which I'm totally ignorant, Gary.
Oh, okay.
So if you were calling me to find out about this, I'm as in the dark about it as you are. I don't know. I know states can files, I guess it's a request for impeachment with the Congress. I don't know if it's they have to file it with their delegation to the House. I just don't know. I'm totally lost. But I do know there is an avenue for doing it that way, yes.
All right. I was just, because it seemed like I heard on Randy Rhodes, like either yesterday or the day before, she said something about, like I think she said New Mexico was doing that.
And yeah, I think so. I think there's a couple. I think there are three states now who are investigating the law, the constitutional law, the federal law, so to speak, on how to do this. Since it seems like the Democratic leadership in the House is not going to do it, whatever you've heard on Randy's program, I'm sure is right on the money. She apparently has done some research on this, and I haven't.
I didn't know. I couldn't get through to her that day, and after I heard it, because I only heard part of it, and I was trying to find out, you know, what the deal was. But you know, because I mean, something's got to happen. I think it
yes.
has to happen now before he gets us into Iran, because I don't think it'll be able to. If it doesn't happen before then, it's not going to happen.
No, I sometimes am terror stricken when I think if this insane bastard launches a strike against Iran, the result of that could engulf 4 or 5 Middle Eastern countries, and if that happens, then the entire world is going to get involved.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I just can't even get my mind around that.
Of course, the only thing is, I think that would probably be the end of the Republican Party too. But you know, I guess that's about the only good thing that could come out of it. But I mean, you know, it seems to me like this impeachment has to happen now. We can't wait. I mean, I believe that the Democrats in Congress are trying to do the investigations and get a drumbeat for impeachment. You know, I do believe that, but I just don't think we can wait.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, I certainly agree with you. I just really feel that America is so unaware that we are at such a critical point in our history and in global history, both where it concerns our Constitution and how we govern ourselves, and the chance here for utter absolute chaos on the planet. And it just seems to me that most of us are just sleepwalking through this. I try not to think about it, which is an impossibility because of the work I do. But I've learned to kind of key my brain down during the day until about 5 o'clock in the afternoon when I have to start preparing for this program, and it just strikes me as I can't understand it, how we can be so zombie-like when we are at such a critical tipping point, I think, in our history. Don't you? I mean, do you?
Yeah, I do. I think it's the media. I mean, you know, the mainstream media, they just aren't putting stuff out there. I mean,
well, that's true.
I take that back. There are a few, but they are so few and far between that most people don't hear it. You know, and I think that's the problem.
Well, when you take out Keith Olbermann, who do you have left?
Occasionally you have Chris Matthews, but that is about it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can't think of anybody else right off the top of my head.
I can't either. All right. Well, listen, I'm glad you called, Gary. Stay in touch, all right?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. All right, sir. Take care. Take care. Jake is calling from California. Jake, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
It's going. How are you?
You know, these neocons in the White House, I mean, they are such liars. This whole thing about the surge in Iraq, about sending 20,000 more troops, that's not going to stabilize the situation.
No.
What they're doing is really preparing for the war with Iran, and that's why the British troops are coming out. They, you know, Tony Blair doesn't want them in the middle of what's about to take place. And the whole thing with the agenda for the Project for the New American Century, people need to read what people like Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld wrote in September 2000. It's called Rebuilding America's Defenses. And they laid out this entire imperial agenda they put into place ever since they stole the White House. They wanted to go into Iraq, use that as a staging area, put permanent military bases there, which is exactly what they're doing. They're going to go into Iran, to Syria. It's all about the oil. It's all about building pipelines. It's all about empire. These liars in the White House, they need to be impeached, Mike.
Oh, they do. There's no question. Like the last caller, Gary was just talking about, it's at that point. Something has to be done now.
Yeah, so. We can't wait any longer because, frankly, they are going to go into Iran, whether or not the American people agree, whether or not the Congress agrees. Forget about what the military wants. It's all about what Bush and Cheney want, and they want more power, more oil. That's all this is really about.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. Well, listen, I'm glad you called. Take care, Jake. All right. Stay in touch. Joe is calling from Chicago. Joe. Hey, Joe. Welcome to the program.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
You know what? I actually have a comment about something you guys were talking about a little while ago. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. First of all, I'll let you know, I love your show. I study political science in school now, and I'm actually a veteran, so... I'm really into the Democrats so we can get the people out of Iraq. I lost friends, but I was calling in a half of a defense per se on what you guys were talking about with the troops getting crazy.
Yeah.
Minus the rape, because I can't think of an excuse ever for rape and killing innocent kids.
Uh-huh.
But you know the government gives us a really bad rules of engagement. You know what that is, right?
Right. Oh yeah.
Okay, and I was in the reserves. And I don't know if you've ever heard about the training in the reserves, but it's really bad. On top of that, we had no bulletproof vests, and we were only allowed 2 bottles of water a day. I was in the invasion. And we weren't allowed to shoot at anybody unless we knew exactly who was shooting at us. And when, you know, all these roadside bombs go off all the time and, you know, you're losing friends left and right, and you kind of develop like a family camaraderie out there.
Sure.
You know, and that's all you have because, you know, nobody at home supports the war. And we didn't support the war because most people in the reserves are college kids. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're educated enough to know that this is a terrible thing. You know, so all you really had to fall on is each other because your families aren't there. So you build this bond, and when they're all getting killed and you don't know who's doing it, you know, that's why these soldiers snap all the time.
Right.
I'm not giving an excuse for raping and killing 8-year-old kids, but, you know, I see why these guys go crazy sometimes.
You feel like what?
You know, I can see how these people go crazy.
Yeah, sure. Oh, absolutely, you know? Joe.
And I blame everything on the Republican Party, everything, and on this administration. But, I mean, you know, I get really kind of upset, minus the rape, when people talk bad about that. But, you know, I mean, they're given nothing. You know, our officers are turning our enlisted people in. Like, you know, you have to watch out for everybody, so everybody's waiting on everybody else. You know, and then on top of that, everybody's saying, as you know, and you don't know who's doing it. You know, I mean... Yeah.
I understand, I do, Joe, what you're saying. I guess my whole point, and I've talked about this in the past, as long as the human species is going to be so unevolved, uncivilized, as to continue to wage war, to send people into combat, to kill each other and smash things, as long as we're going to do that, there has to be at least in place, solidly in place, as you call them, the rules of engagement. But beyond that, rules of conduct, what is acceptable and not acceptable. Now, that, in my opinion, happens to be impossible to enforce anymore because we are in the era of urban warfare. There will be no more battles where the enemy lines up on this side of the valley and we line up on that side of the valley. And then at a given signal, we charge or unleash the cannon or what have you. Those days are gone. They have been gone since World War II. What we have now is urban warfare, jungle warfare, insurgent warfare, guerrilla warfare, or nuclear warfare. So none of these old rules apply, which means very simply one thing. War, as a means of settling differences, has got to be abolished. Totally.
Which is why we need an educated person in office instead of who
totally
we have now.
And completely. I agree with you, Joe. I got to leave it there. Thanks, pal. I appreciate what you had to say. I do. All right.
Yeah, I appreciate you letting me on.
Take care.
Baby, your love. Baby, your love. Baby, your love.
Faster than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Ten before the hour, we just got an update from the Associated Press. That soldier we were talking about, Sergeant Paul Cortez, 24, was sentenced to 100 years in prison earlier today, not very long ago, for the gang rape and murder of that Iraqi girl and the killing of her family. He was also given a dishonorable discharge. He will be eligible for parole in 10 years. Under the terms of his plea agreement. In his plea agreement, he's agreed to testify against others in the case. And under the rules of the military, the judge hearing the case can impose the lesser sentence, 10 years, unless Sergeant Cortez violates the term of the plea agreement. And that requires him to testify against others in the case. It's being considered among the worst atrocities by U.S. military personnel in Iraq. Notice the plural. atrocities. Psychologist Charles Figley testified that Cortez and the other soldiers likely suffered stress brought on by fatigue and trauma. Figley said, "It eats you up. It's a horrible thing. This is not unique. We've seen this in other wars." So 100 years in prison, a dishonorable discharge, and in fact he'll serve 10, which I don't understand military justice at all, aside from, you know, the joke that it's an oxymoron, military justice. But 10 years in prison for raping one person you kill and conspiring to kill three more, one of whom is 7 years old, 10 years in prison for that seems to me to be the type of justice that it's just not the type of type of justice that deserves the term justice. It just isn't. I mean, oh my Christ, 10 years. So when this killer rapist is 35, he'll be back out on the streets, right? Isn't that what Republicans scream about all the time? The lax enforcement of the law. Where I wonder how many of them will speak out about this particular case. Or will the, "Oh, I was in a war, I went crazy" idea be the basis of their argument? Probably the latter. Thanks to Ian Huff again tonight for engineering the program in Phoenix. He also answered your phone calls. Thanks to Mark Marshall, Chris in Minnesota, and the moderators at MikeMalloy.com who run the message board there. Catherine Bay is our executive producer. Don't forget, NovaMRadio.com is waiting for you to show up and sign up for downloads and podcasts and a chance to win 10 grand. Nothing to be sneezed at, right? Now, if you want to mail a check in, you can send it to Nova M Founders Club at 824 East Washington in Phoenix. 824 East Washington, Phoenix, 85034. One more time. Nova M Founders Club, 824 East Washington, Phoenix, 85034. Sound like one of those commercials we run. So be sure to call now. 9 to 9s. No, don't do that with the sponsors, Malloy. Robert is calling from Jasper, Georgia. Hey, Robert.
Yeah, hi, Mike. It's a pleasure. I've listened to you off and on for a number of years. I've never lived in a place where your former employee had a station. I lived in Orlando, Florida, but now I guess I live near you.
Yes, you do.
But anyway, I'll try not to ramble. There's so many things, and I'll try not to get as upset as you get. But I feel that way all the time.
Yeah.
I just watched the movie, The Ghost of Abu Ghraib, on HBO.
Yeah.
And basically, in summation, the premise is there's no way that those young enlisted people that were charged with those crimes and they're serving time conspired to commit those acts on their own.
Right.
That went to the generals and the commanders right on up the line. It seems to me we had a butch-haired guy who flew and landed on an aircraft carrier and put on a phony flight jacket and declared he was the decider.
Yeah.
And now he says, "I'm the commander-in-chief, and I can do whatever I want, and I can send troops over there no matter what Congress says."
Right.
Well, that means he's responsible for the actions of all of his military people. When's that SOB going to stand up and do something about it?
But
they will never admit this.
But Republicans never take responsibility for their actions. That is a given as surely as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. But you're absolutely right, especially in the Abu Ghraib thing. Those orders came from Rumsfeld and Cheney.
Absolutely, and not from General Janis Karpinski either.
No.
And by the way, if I were president, one of my first acts would be to restore her to her grade, promote her, give her the damn medal that they gave to that SOB general who covered up the one who set all the interrogation procedures in motion at both in Cuba and over there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've lived around the military my entire life. My dad was a colonel and an officer. I know the military police. I lived at Fort Benning when you know who went on. This is going to your other thing. When Callie went on trial.
Oh my God.
I met Callie, played tennis with him. He's a nice guy, but he was a murderer. And he wasn't the only one, by the way. There were lots of other cases in Vietnam that never went to trial.
That's true.
I know personally, I won't name them because I had no friends who were in the military that were thrown out of the military, but there was no trial. They never served time for it.
I hear you. Robert.
Thank you very much. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you, sir. We're flat out of time. Robert, I hope you call back in again. It's always good to hear from homeboys. I'll see you tomorrow night. Hey, we got through the last half hour with no equipment failures or host failures. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, y'all, okay? Really. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.